I've seen a huge change in the care that we can offer our patients.
We're figuring out our finances an issue. What's housing like?
Different perspectives.
What's their income like?
Really,
what their social status is like? And trying to look at that whole picture. I like to see myself
high demand, high pressure,
individuals
together.
That's something that a navigator can do.
Welcome to Integrate Your Care, hosted by Central Brampton Family Health Team, the podcast where we connect you, the listener, with the health resources, services, and people relevant to you and your healthcare journey. My name is Matthew, and I am your host and the program coordinator of Central Brampton Family Health Team. Throughout this podcast, we'll be speaking to all sorts of interesting people in the community, doctors, nurses, healthcare leaders, and this is all going to be driven by two main goals. Our first goal is health promotion and education. We want to bring you the health information you need, whether that be you're a new diabetic and you're looking for some basic resources on disease management, or you have an aging parent and you're looking for a place to start that conversation around advanced care planning. We want to make resources that are accessible to you with accurate, vetted information. Our second goal is we want to foster community and collaborate with you. We want to hear the topics you want to hear about. So if you have an idea of a topic or a person or something you would like to hear about from this podcast, feel free to comment on our social media, write us, send us an email. We would love to hear about it and we would love to do our best to provide those answers for you. So the topic of our first episode is, what is a family health team? The short answer to this question is that a family health team is a group of healthcare professionals, including but not limited to physicians, nurse practitioners, nurses, pharmacists, dietitians, social workers, and so on, that all collaborate to provide care to the same patient base. This improves the quality of care, and it also allows for seamless transitions in care. So what does being a part of a family health team mean for patients? It means you have access to your doctor or NP regularly. It means you have access to a team of additional professionals, like the social workers and dietitians that we mentioned. And not only do you have access to them, but they also have access to each other. These professionals are all in constant conversation with each other so that you are provided with the best, most informed care possible. Additionally, some of these services are things that OHIP wouldn't cover. So for example, dietitian services are frequently something that people have to pay out of pocket for. But if you're a part of a family health team, you have access to a dietitian free of charge. So in a brief second, we're going to be hearing excerpts from interviews we did with four members of our family health team: Dr. Manson, one of our physicians, Maria, our nurse practitioner, Heather, our patient care navigator, and Andrea, one of our social workers. The full interviews will be released alongside this episode if you would like to listen in on the full conversation. But first up, we will be hearing from Dr. Manson. Dr. Manson is one of the original members of Central Brampton Family Health Team, and she's been serving here for 13 years. She practices family medicine, obstetrics, and she is highly regarded as one of the go-to physicians in the community for breastfeeding consultation and support services. So here is an excerpt from our conversation with Dr. Manson. What does integrated care mean to you? How does that look in kind of from your position as a physician in a family health team?
I've seen a huge change in the care that we can offer our patients when we became a family health team. When we were a group of specifically family physicians, we could offer family practice. But when we needed someone to see a dietitian, or we needed diabetic care for their feet, or we were trying to follow certain things, it was much more difficult. We now, for example, have a diabetic day. Each of the physicians have a day and this is a day that Dr. Petta designed, this program, and it's award-winning throughout Ontario. And so patients will come in, and in one day they'll see the dietitian, they'll see the nurse, they'll see the pharmacist. They'll have their whole diabetes care looked at in that single day. And that kind of care, we have shown that it provides better care, their diabetes, they have better numbers. And unfortunately, we haven't yet been able to show long-term outcome, only because, you know, you have to go out 20 years to see the long-term. But our numbers definitely in the short-term are good.
I imagine that would significantly reduce the load on patients as well, just in sheer amount of appointments they have to attend.
Absolutely. You take a half day off for your doctor's appointment and you get to see all those people. One of the other things I have seen is that, you know, our hypertension program, where I see my patient every 6 months for their hypertension, it's hard to get an appointment with me. But they see a nurse for their blood pressure that's at that three-month mark to make sure their blood pressure is under good control. So I can give them a prescription for 6 months, but they make sure that their blood pressure is under good control by seeing the nurse at three-month mark. And that works really, really well. And then if the nurse at that point has any concerns and it's difficult to get into me, then the nurse practitioner can then look at the medication and change it. So that we all work together. Everything's on the same chart. I have all the information I need when I next see the patient. I know exactly what's going on.
How long have you been working in a family health team?
Our family health team started in 2011. And we were one of the last family health teams in Ontario to form. And we came out of a previous program that the government had run, trying to encourage groups of family physicians to become family health teams.
So you mentioned, you kind of touched on how care changed between prior to being a family health team and after becoming a family health team.
Yes.
What can you say about how family health teams have evolved? How has the care evolved since, you know, in that past 13 years?
So that when we came in, it was new to us. We had to learn the collaboration. So that as a family doctor, you're responsible for absolutely everything with your patient. And it is a little bit hard to have someone else seeing your patient and taking care of them and building that interprofessional trust that, you know, you're all on the same page. And I think that is a slow development so that we've been able to do that. I think the first program was our mental health program that really built that trust, that we knew that when we referred, our patients were going to get really good care. And our patients came back to us and they said it was great. You know, they felt that they had really got a lot of help through that program. And then, you know, coming back through the hypertension program, the respiratory program, and the diabetes program. Now, with the diabetes program, one of the things that was really, really helpful was at the same time as becoming a family health team, we also went to electronic medical records. So I can't completely separate those two because we were able to really put pieces of information together. But there is no comparison between the care our patients are receiving now and the care that they received prior to the family health team. It's leaps and bounds above what they previously received.
That's fantastic. That's really great to hear the kind of strides that are being made in the direction of integrated care and to hear about the results as well. Because I think for a lot of patients, they hear from the top down. Kind
Absolutely.
Of they hear about what's being done, but they don't really ever get to hear about how that's actually changing the experience for them. And on the same topic, as someone who's had such a long tenure in the family health team ecosystem, do you see any areas of need in the system? Are there any other ways and kind of future directions to continue to improve that quality of care?
So, yes, I do. I think that the family health team can help, and we've started this progress with ours in hospital to home integration. And it's a really hard thing to do, the integration between hospital and the doctor's office, a hospital and home, But through COVID, we really worked on that. And I think that was a big thing. We, within this health team, have started getting a patient advocate. Or I don't think it's actually called advocate, but it's a patient advisory committee. And I think that that will also help us. It will help our focus on what's important to the patients rather than what's important to the doctors and what we think is important to the patients. The other thing that I think is going to be important over time is that the amount of effort it has taken the physicians to set up the fit and the time that has been put into it to make it work. I think there's been a lot of oversight of what that took. Now, our fit runs. Our fit is working really well. Hopefully that kind of effort won't be needed again. But if the government wants to build more fits, that's going to have to happen in other areas. And the recognition that it's going to take a lot of physician energy is really important because it's a group effort. Like it's looking at what is the best thing for our patients and how can we serve them best and help them to have the best health outcomes that they can have. So it's working as a team throughout the healthcare milieu, from government down to provider.
Right, and I guess that's particularly relevant with the family health team model because they're responsive to the community needs. So they require not just building the foundation, but also an intimate understanding of the challenges that community is currently facing in healthcare. Thank you very much, Dr. Manson. You've been truly a great guest for the podcast.
Thank you. I've enjoyed being here.
So what do we hear from Dr. Manson? She talked about integrated care and interprofessional collaboration, this idea that everyone is on the same page and working together to provide care to the same patients. And she talked about how this benefits the patients. For example, the diabetes clinic day we run and how that cuts down the burden of healthcare on both patients and practitioners. And in the full interview, you can hear about our breastfeeding program and how family health teams can respond to community needs as well. Now, there are 297 organizations in Ontario that provide primary healthcare services in an interprofessional team-based setting. 187 of those are family health teams, but there are also models like community health centers, which focus on people who are not covered by OHIP, perhaps newcomers or international students. And there's also things like nurse practitioner-led clinics, which are healthcare clinics that are led by nurse practitioners. And while we are not led by nurse practitioners here at Central Brampton Family Health Team, we do have some great nurse practitioners on staff. So our next speaker will be Maria, who will tell us a little bit more about a nurse practitioner's role in an integrated care setting and how that contrasts with that of the physicians. There's a lot of overlap in those two roles, but they serve distinct and important roles in integrated care. So here's Maria. So you're a nurse practitioner and you do primary care. Could you tell us a little bit more about how that looks different than a doctor who does primary
care? Yeah, no problem. That's actually, it's a very popular question patients ask me is what's the difference? So if you're not familiar with the scope of a nurse practitioner, we were initially RNs, so registered nurses. And we have to work for 2 years full time, and then we return back to school, depending on the program, anywhere from 2 to 3 years, to become a nurse practitioner. And it gives us the ability to assess, diagnose, and treat patients. We're able to order diagnostic imaging and blood work. We're able to prescribe any medications. And at this point, you're probably thinking, okay, so what's the difference? So I always say we're sort of a hybrid between a nurse and a physician. That yes, we do have that medical training to assess and diagnose. But a lot of times we do have the ability, just in terms of the way the system is set up, we can spend more time with a patient And it's not because physicians don't want to. It's a lot of times they have a lot more restrictions and demands that can be placed on them. But with our nursing background, we're trained in a very different way. In terms of if we have a patient with complex care, we're not only looking at the medical part of it, we're figuring out our finances an issue, what's housing like, what's their income like, what their social status is like, and trying to look at that whole picture from a nursing perspective as well. And as mentioned before, just the way the system is set up, a lot of times the physicians will ask us, can you sit with this patient and review their diabetes with them or review their blood pressure with them, because we're able to do that in a sense of time where we don't have to rush through it. Hope that made somewhat sense.
That makes perfect sense. So you're not a doctor. You have a completely different skill set, or I should say a different background that gives you a unique view.
Yes. Yeah. And the lines do become blurred sometimes, right? And sometimes the same sort of happens with registered nurses and nurse practitioners. If you have a registered nurse who's maybe working in a remote area under certain medical directives where they're given permission to do certain things. So sometimes lines can become a little bit blurred, but essentially a lot of times it comes down to the training that we've had. I like to see myself and nurse practitioners as working with physicians, as colleagues, as well as nurses with colleagues to really deliver that care to patients and not seeing anybody as a replacement for anything. I like looking at it as a team-based approach. And as long as patients are getting the care, that's what matters in the end.
Right. And one of those key distinctions that you mentioned would be the amount of time that you can put into a patient.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, like I said, it's not that physicians don't want to do that. I think physicians would actually prefer to do that, but they have restrictions on them that don't make it as possible. And here they have their own roster of patients that they need time to be able to see, whereas the nurse practitioners in this family health team, we don't have our own roster of patients. We work with all of the physicians in the practice, which is good, which I actually prefer. It gives me a variety of things to do.
That's awesome. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about what does your day-to-day look like? What is it like to be an NP in a family health team?
So one of the things I like is every day is different. So I can see anyone from young children to the very elderly. I can see people that have complex conditions like dementia, uncontrolled diabetes, high blood pressure. But I can also see those things that we call acute, episodic things. So if somebody has a cough or a cold or an earache. And coming from an eMERGE background, I like that variety. It keeps me on my toes, and you're constantly learning every single day.
Right, and you mentioned the ER again.
Yeah.
So I'll ask you, hospitals obviously are another example of integrated care.
Yes.
How, you know, maybe you could compare and contrast a little bit about how does a hospital's kind of approach to integrated care differ from a family health team?
So in hospital, usually we are dealing with the here and now and the acute. So what problem do you have now and what can we fix right now? And so the team approach in that is you have the physician or the nurse practitioners. They're still assessing, diagnosing, and treating. And the nurse is carrying out those orders and checking them. But a lot of times, once that acute problem is solved, you're off and out back out into the community. Whereas in primary care and in a family health team, it's that ongoing care. So yes, we're dealing with the acute things, but now we're dealing with the follow-up of that and the ongoing care of that. Another piece to that is primary care. We're looking at prevention as well. Hospital, we're looking at treatment because unfortunately, by the time you get to the hospital, we're past that prevention piece. So doing that prevention and that health teaching with patients is very important to try to keep them out of the hospital when you can.
That was Maria telling us a little bit more about the role of nurse practitioners in integrated care, how they're able to take a different approach where physicians carry a large volume of patients, NPs are able to spend a little bit of extra time with their patients and view the larger picture of their health. Now, our physicians and our nursing staff, like Dr. Manson and Maria, are the backbone of our primary care here at Central Brampton Family Health Team. But where family health teams really start to shine is in the additional services we can offer. At Central Brampton Family Health Team, we have dietitians, pharmacists, diabetes educators, social workers, nurses, RPNs, respiratory therapists, health educators, and our health navigator. Next, you'll be hearing from Heather, our health navigator. Heather is an active participant and advocate in her community, and she has an unrivaled wealth of knowledge about community resources that are available to patients in a multitude of circumstances. And up next, she is going to tell you about why health navigation is an essential component of primary care and integrated care. So here's Heather. How does health navigation fit in with our integrated care model? Could you talk a little bit about how you work with other team members to kind of provide comprehensive patient care?
Absolutely. So, you know, when we were just talking before about nursing and nursing duties, you know, there are other nurses on our team, nurse practitioners, and so they may be providing like more hands-on medical-based primary care services or discussions, but then as an outcome of that primary care appointment, they would see that maybe the patient needs navigation support. So here at the Central Brampton Family Health Team, I mean, it truly is a team, right? And so any one of my colleagues from any of the programs that we offer here can reach out to me and say, hey, Heather, I was seeing this patient because they have a wound, but now, you know, I realize that they have the wound because they fell in their shower and they don't have shower equipment and they're elderly. Can you help connect them? And so that's a way that we integrate here. And so, you know, the patient doesn't have to come to me first. It can be, you know, a primary care, or maybe they're seeing a dietitian, you know, because they're having poor nutritional intake. But they don't have, you know, they're low income family and they don't know how to access a food bank. So maybe then the dietitian would refer to me to help connect them that way.
And in that sense, I guess you are kind of a bridge between medical support and social supports.
In a way, yes. I mean, some of the reasons why patients are referred to navigation directly impact their medical care, you know, like as far as talking about power of attorney or advanced care planning, those kinds of things. I've had, you know, patients referred for a lot of different reasons, but also a large majority of the referrals are related to social services.
How fundamental do you think care navigation is to primary care and, I guess, community health in general?
Absolutely fundamental, to be honest with you. I think it is emerging through the healthcare system. People are now realizing just how important it is. You know, it can be such a simple thing and can decrease the amount of emergency visits that an individual might make, or even a physician or clinic visit. You know, if someone is going to emerge because they've ran out of their medication and they don't know how to get access to it, but if they had access to a health navigator who could explain to them maybe the process on how their family doctor reorders medication, you know, or the amount of days the doctor needs ahead of time so that they don't run into that problem of going to emerge for something like that, or, you know, having the physician trying to find resources, that's something that a navigator can do, and the physician can be more concentrated on primary care concerns.
And I guess in that way,
increasing support for navigation reduces the burden on other
100%
parts of the healthcare system.
100%.
And that was Heather explaining some of the benefits of patient care navigation. This is a really great service that we're very proud to offer at Central Brampton Family Health Team that helps us connect patients with resources beyond the scope of our usual offering. And finally, we're going to be hearing from Andrea. Andrea is one of our social workers and one of the leads in our mental health program, and she's going to be telling us a little bit more about how social workers support integrated care and how family health teams support patient mental health through mental health programming, such as short-term counseling and our webinar series. And as a reminder, these are excerpts from longer interviews that are available. So if you're interested in hearing more about any of the services or programs we've talked about, feel free to check out those longer conversations for more information. But without further ado, here is Andrea. So now you're integrated in a primary care setting.
Mm-hmm.
Within a family health team, and that's what we've been talking about this episode, family health teams and integrated care. How does being a social worker in a family health team differ from other settings that you've worked in? Does it differ? Is there any substantial difference between a family health team social worker and somewhere else?
Yes, mostly because we work with an interprofessional team. So I have access to, you know, consulting with nursing, we have a dietitian, pharmacist. So it's really a team-based approach to supporting patients, and also, of course, our family physician. So depending on what our scope is and what type of support we provide, we are able to work together and get different perspectives and really look at the whole person and the ways that they need support to optimize their health. In other agencies and organizations I've worked with, we kind of all come from a very similar background. So the support is very specified. Like I said, housing and homelessness, for example. We don't, you know, have access to talking with their family physicians. They may not be connected to a family physician, you know, not having nursing support and things like that. So within a family health team, we're able to kind of work together and to be able to support the patients.
Now, we have a mental health program that offers short-term counseling and a webinar, and you recently completed a boundaries group.
Mm-hmm.
So could you tell us a little bit, why don't we start with short-term counseling? What do we offer in terms of short-term counseling and who might be eligible for that?
Well, we receive referrals from, I believe we're up to 4 different family physician offices. So that's quite a lot. We get referrals. The simplest way I can boil down mental health is really when anyone's experiencing stress and it's impacting their functioning. So we could get referrals about someone who has recently lost someone, dealing with grief and bereavement. They could be dealing with relationship issues that they're having a really hard time focusing and managing, issues with work, issues with friendships, pressures, demands. It could be students often in university. It could be all different things that causes people to kind of feel overwhelmed. So, in terms of counseling, we do offer short term between 6 to 8 sessions of counseling. Typically that's plenty. Usually within 5 or 6 appointments, the person's usually feeling much better. They have developed some skills, better understanding of themselves or their circumstances. So their perspective has shifted.
Could you walk us through a patient interaction? You mentioned a multidisciplinary approach. How would that look? A complex patient walks through the door. How do you implement a multidisciplinary approach as a social worker?
Sometimes when I'm working with somebody and say it's for, maybe they're very, very stressed out about their job. It's high demand, high pressure. And because of that, they just become consumed with work and everything becomes about work. And often what can happen is that someone starts to have a difficult time taking care of themselves. So what could happen is that their diet is impacted. They may not be eating properly or getting enough nutrition. They might just be grabbing what's easy and not necessarily what's healthy or good for them. Sometimes they might take medication or forget medication or not really know how the medication is supposed to work the most effectively. They may not be exercising or moving or making time for themselves in that way. So for example, if that happens, and that did recently happen, someone who's just really struggling in a lot of different areas. So with, for my support with them in terms of mental health was a lot about setting boundaries at work, learning how to say no, because it was very much kind of, he self-identifies as a people pleaser. So it was a really difficult time saying no and having boundaries at work, both in terms of time management as well. But there were other things that were going on, or physically he wasn't feeling well either. So even to say, you know, even though boundaries is going to take some time for you to be able to learn how to manage yourself at work and your relationships at work and taking some things off your plate, you could also start today with just how you're eating and how you're just paying closer attention to how you're caring for yourself in that way. So I did make an internal referral to Maria, and they kind of looked at what his diet was like, what he could use more of or less of, and just practical, really easy steps to improve his diet. And also worked with Paul with some things that he could be doing at home. In the future, the long-term goal is for him to start having the time where he does start going to the gym or spending more time outside. But for now, these are just some simple exercises that he could do at home, just to help kind of increase his movement and daily exercise. And then also we kind of linked in Heather as well, who provided some external resources. So he was supported by four of us in total. So it was kind of a one-stop shop. He didn't have to go find a referral to go somewhere else or get advice or support somewhere else in the community or pay privately. We all kind of work as a team together, and we're just an office away. So he was already familiar with the environment, and it was a really kind of easy transfer. I had already built rapport with him, so he was already open to the idea of meeting with Maria, Paul, and Heather.
I think that's a really great approach. You get to see multiple people and have multiple problems taken care of at once.
Yes.
And I can definitely see how that supports mental health.
And that was Andrea, one of our social workers, speaking on the role of social work in integrated care and speaking a little bit on some of the services we offer our patients through our mental health program. Now, currently, about 3.5 million Ontarians are served by family health teams. That's just over 20% of the province. And the provincial government has recently pledged an additional $110 million to connect 300,000 additional patients to team-based care. And we think that's great. We're really happy to see the kind of investments the province is pouring into team-based care. And if you want to be a part of a family health team, talk to your doctor, encourage them to join a family health team, or even write your MP. Help us with this push to expand integrated care in the province. Because we really believe that integrated care helps both practitioners and patients. Those open lines of communication help your practitioners make the most informed decisions in your care, and they help you make the most informed decisions for your healthcare journey. We heard from some great practitioners today, and if you want access to those services, talk to your doctor or write your MP. And finally, one last reminder, the full interviews that you heard excerpts from are available with this episode. So if you want to hear more from those practitioners or hear more about those services, you can listen to those full conversations, you can visit our website, or you can email us at info@cbfht.ca. And additionally, if you have any ideas for future topics or people you'd like to hear from, do not hesitate to reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. And with that said, thank you very much for listening to the first episode of Integrate Your Care, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.